time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, this is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
We back. We are back still. Black History Year, August. This the vacation month, it seemed like. How you doing, though? What's good with you?
Yeah, it's August. This, you know what I'm saying? You know, people are hitting the road. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm on one of them. You know, this ain't a real vacation for me. I'm in standard town. You know what I mean? It's almost like a staycation because I got the kids, but I'm in Atlanta. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I'm in the A.
A.
Gonna end this summer off in the A and let it do what it do.
That's what's up. Anything good going on out there outside of the, you know, the usual? It's raining out there.
Yeah, that tropical storm or whatever was coming through, so it had been raining yesterday and all day today. So it looked like it's clearing up a little bit. It's supposed to be good tomorrow. So so I'm on staycation vibes. We at the pool. We gonna be, you know what I mean, in the theater room, doing all what we could do.
Amenities. Yeah. I hear that.
Take advantage of these amenities in these last weeks of summer.
That's what's up, man. Last weeks of summer. Summer's all the way about to be a wrap. I felt like that shit flew by. Funny that I was saying about vacation, not only I know you on your staycation shit, but what made me think about vacation was it was a pizza shop I was going to go to the other day. Danny's House of Pizza out in Queens is a good pizza shop. They do like a sweet slice. It's a good pizza shop though, but that's one of the things they do. So I was in that area and I drove past there and they wasn't open. They weren't on vacation actually. As I'm telling the story, I remember they opened late. They opened at like 2, and then they closed at 11. I didn't even realize that. That's some real temperamental. We just get it. We get it like that type of shit. But there was another pizza shop that I was trying to check out because I drove past Danny's. It was closed. I went past this other spot. They were on vacation. Then there's a hero spot that I was telling my brother-in-law about to go check out that I heard about. And he drove past there. He texted me today. They on vacation. So I don't know if this is a restaurant time for vacation in August, but it made me realize I ain't had a vacation in a long ass time. Right. Not that you don't count the pandemic as a vacation. That was a pandemic.
Right.
But there's I had to really think about when the last time I was like just on some relaxation type shit on the beach or just leisurely experiencing life, and it's been a little while. Salute to everybody on vacation, y'all. Get your shit off.
You know, it's like this, and even if those restaurants don't do that every year, this would be a year to say, you know what, we're gonna do that this year, because everybody had to take a break on the pandemic, right? So and when you are on that pandemic break, you know, everything was slow. You know what I'm saying? Shit probably wasn't coming in how it was supposed to come in. And then now you kind of back to work and you got stuff coming in. And you know for a fact, shit, I could survive a week. You know what I'm saying? Without getting no bread. I could go enjoy myself for a week. You know what I'm saying? I'm not beholden to this place. Because like before the pandemic, you just work, 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 grind, grind, grind. You know, some people were free and, you know what I'm saying, emancipated from the daily grind, but most people, you know, hustle, hustle, grind, grind, then vacation, you know, if they could. But during that time, you got to see, you know what, life, you know what I'm saying, ain't all work, grind, head to the grindstone, sleep when you're dead type shit. Because I'm not doing that now, and I'm still here, and I'm still living, and everything's still good. I still got my health and my wits about myself. Shit, I could stand to enjoy myself for a minute, and that's like we said the other day, the other month, that this would be a revenge summer. So,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Shit, the pizza place taking revenge. Like, shit, All right. Yeah. We came back open. We slang pizza for 6 months, and we're going to go on vacation. We'll see you next week.
Yeah. Nah, I ain't doing nothing but building people's appetite for that pizza when it reemerges.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you this then, because that, you know, there's a lot of talk about, and even prior to the pandemic, but I'm curious, you know, there's been saying there's a lot of talk about the death of hustle culture. Now, you are the creator of 21st Century Hustle, which came out quite some time ago. Where do you feel? 1999. So damn. So shit. That's a long. That's almost 20 years ago.
Yeah, it was 20.
Over 20. Yeah. Yeah, 20. Shit is an adult. So do you feel like hustle culture is dead, or what's your stance on it?
Nah, hustle culture ain't gonna never die. That's because that's, you know what I'm saying, when you're talking about evolution and you're talking about innovation and evolution, that all happens within hustle culture. When you out here killing yourself because you got ideas and you got, you know what I'm saying, you out here, you trying to prove something to the world, you got something to offer to the world, that'll never die. Like, people go through stages. What's the mainstream popularity goes through stages, because in 99, when I was talking about that stuff, it was a foreign language to mainstream culture. Like, oh, hustle, oh, no, you ain't going to never win with that name. You know what I mean? It wasn't in the mainstream top of mind. So I would say this, you know, it's just like hip-hop magazines, right? 21st Century Hustle was a magazine, like a business type of magazine for, you know, people on the grind. Entrepreneurs, go-getters, visionaries, you know what I mean, hustlers. So at that stage in my life, that's how I viewed the world. That's how, like, you know, it's 24 hours in a day. I'm going to make the most of them. I'm going to sleep when I'm dead. You know what I'm saying? All that vernacular, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just like when you in hip-hop and you reading The Source. At a certain point, you know what I'm saying, you might start reading Vibe. And it's like, oh, this is a little more sophisticated. You know what I'm saying? It's talking to me in different ways. It's giving me different genres of music as well as hip hop, but, you know, still the same culture, but a little bit more grown up. It give me a little fashion. So, you know, it's a little more sophisticated. I'm a rock with this. I'm not going to read XXL and The Source as much. And then you get to a point where you're not even reading music magazines no more. You're trying to learn. You're trying to get into your career. You're trying to get to a certain space. And then you start reading other things that feed that, you know? And so I think that's what's happening in culture, you know? The hustle culture came in, you know what I'm saying? You had people like Jay-Z and some of the bigger rappers that's spouting this type of talk. And it becomes mainstream conscious. And then you get LLC Twitter, and then you get, you know what I'm saying, Earn Your Leisure, and you get all these things, and those things aren't going nowhere, and there's going to always be a space for them, because there's always people that are trying to figure out how to even break in. It's just when the majority of people, they kind of get the basics and they're moving on to something else, they need something else. And even myself, you know what I mean, at a certain point, the ideology of 21st Century Hustle no longer suited where I was as a man. So I changed the name. I didn't kill 21st Century Hustle, but I started a whole another company that was, you know, Thorough Media. So I felt like Thorough represented more where my mindset was at the time. You know what I'm saying? Let's get everything locked tight, you know what I'm saying, solid, and move forward and become, you know what I mean, more grown with the shit. And then you do that for, you know what I mean, I've been that probably about 6-7 years. And now I have a whole nother mindset that I feel like is the next step from what I've learned along the journey from 21st Century Hustle, from Thorough Media, and just growing up as a man and as a father and a husband and all that. It's different things become important to you. And life changes, and what you have to prove changes, and what you have to prove to yourself becomes more important than anything else. So I don't believe hustle culture is dead. I just believe certain people have grown out of it. You know what I'm saying? As well they should, because after you get to a certain stage, you know what I'm saying, your mindset changed. Jay-Z not in the same place he was when you know, Streets Was Watching drop, in a whole another place. He hustling right. In a different kind of way. You know what I mean? And I bet he getting more rest than he used to get. You know what I'm saying? Spending more time with the kids and shit. You know what I mean? And the last time Jay-Z been on tour, that shit was, about 5-6 years ago.
Yeah, last time he probably put an album out was damn near, 4 years ago, something like that.
Yeah, so that's probably the last tour he was on about 4 years ago. Shit, when he came out on Homecoming, he was out of breath. Like, shit. He only had to spit one verse. Beyonce was doing all kind of shit. He came out there with that one verse. He was like, oh, ha-ha, all right now. Life changed. That nigga want to be on a beach.
You know, it's interesting, too, now to think about it. I'm curious, and I feel you on what you said. I'm curious if how you define the culture or your era or the, I guess, the zeitgeist of your generation. If, you know, like hustle culture, as you said early in the beginning of it, you were like, that's something when you're trying to express an idea or you're trying to establish yourself in the world, right? Mm-hmm. That's oftentimes at the beginning of your career or at a pivot point in your career where you got to start anew. Mm-hmm. But oftentimes it's like at the beginning, so more so leans more younger, right? Because, you know, like I'm looking around, I guess I'm looking at like my peer set. You know, I look at everything, but I look at, I'm trying to delineate if it's the peer set or it's the overall vibe, because now that hustle culture is kind of dormant, for say, or it's not as popular as it once was, it's not all over the place. I've also seen the rise of self-care culture, right? You know what I mean? And I'm curious if that is a generational thing. Like, as I said, I realize I've seen people that are like in their 20s talking about self-care as well. You know what I mean? So I won't even put it off on that. But I definitely seen the rise of, you know, mindfulness and taking a minute to meditate, to be present, to be grateful, to give, you know what I mean? To, you know, make space, as they say, for various things and various, you know, people or whatever. So, it's just very interesting how an attitude can become like a dominant attitude amongst a culture. You know what I'm saying? But it seems like, and I think just like I was saying, that the pandemic probably, you know, making people sit down, it made people have to kind of look at hustle culture and say, well, damn, what did that gain me? Or damn, sitting down is not killing me. Like you said about the pizza shop people. I realized I could actually live if I'm at a standstill for a minute. It's not as hand to mouth as I thought it was. And then also at the same time, it's like, well, what do I do with this time? How do I even process this stillness? You know what I mean? Like, am I guilty about it? Do I indulge in it? All of that. And that kind of comes into that whole self-care type of thing where people are showing you how to, you know, be indulgent about what you want to do, be deliberate about what you like, and you know what I mean? And all that type of stuff. So it's just interesting.
No, I mean, and the thing about it is that that's the beauty of what's going on now, is because you have the technology and you have the spaces for all of these voices to be in one platform, right? So hustle culture is always there. It's always going to be there. Self-care was always there and it's always going to be there. You know what I'm saying? Wellness, spirituality, you know what I'm saying? You know, you got all of these segments of thought that play together in this world, and they're all there at the same time. It's just the one you pay attention to is the one that stands out the most. You know what I mean? And then, because for people, I don't know who said hustle culture was dead, but it is popping and highly prevalent right now, because, you know, I see it, because I know the voice and I know the energy. And I recognize that people have taken it way further than I was able to take it. You know what I'm saying? So I notice it and it's there. And cats is coming out and they're getting money based off of helping people understand how to get money. So, you know, that's just one thing. But as we know, as we grow, you also start to see the information that money is not going to fill up everything in your life. You know what I'm saying? After you get all of this stuff, what is there next? You know what I'm saying? What do you do next? How do you spend your time after you have all of the stuff? When you become Beyonce and you become Jay-Z, what do with yourself? You know what I'm saying? Do you continue to hustle forward, or do you start to change your mindset and indulge in some self-care and some mindfulness and some therapy and some, you know what I mean?
Right.
For me, I see that there's still a void from where I want to present information from. There's still a bridge that needs to be built between the wellness, self-care, spiritual crowd, even the law of attraction folks. You know what I'm saying? All of those people. Your meditation and your thoughtfulness and your, you know, draw it all to yourself and, you know, manifest that whole crowd and the hustle crowd. There's still like some place in the middle, because, you know, when you move around and you talk to people, because I'm still on the bubble. I'm not there. So when you move around and you talk to people who are there, they got all the things, you know what I mean? They've done it. They can do all what they want. There's nothing they can't buy. It's still a thing that they're chasing. And a lot of times it's meaning. You know what I'm saying? What does this all mean? What does my life mean? What does all this stuff mean? You know what I'm saying? I got all this stuff. I got everything you could want. But as soon as I'm out of here, my people going to sell all this shit. You know what I'm saying? It's going, you know what I mean? So what did I do all this shit for? And they start to fill in those blanks with, okay, da 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 da. So for me, I want to explore this space that what drives you when there's no longer, when it's not money, and either before you get it or after you get it, it's the same energy that drives you to continue, to innovate and to continue to move and create. You know what I mean? It's an energy within creation, and there's an energy within discovery, and somehow that plays together. And I don't know how, but my whole next project is based on that particular thought. What is it in there that propels us and gives us energy when we either don't need it because we got all the shit, or we don't have nothing and we still trying to get it? What's the energy that drives us? And it's something within creation and discovery. At least that's my thesis. That's my hypothesis.
That's a good little hypothesis, a good thesis there. I like that. I want to hear more about that, because there'll be times when I'm like, man, I don't know. Sometimes I be feeling tapped out, you know, mm-hmm. Like I be feeling like you could kind of, you realize like, damn, man, I got to be more self-possessed in this moment. And you might try to kickstart it, but mm-hmm. Sometimes it's not sustainable. Sometimes it's just like it's almost inorganic. You know mm-hmm. What I mean? Like it's like to your point of like knowing yourself. Mm-hmm. Like you gotta know yourself and like, yo, for me, I'll just be honest. Stillness is tough. Stillness mm-hmm. is hard, right? Like it's just because it's. I got so many, I've assigned so much, for sake of a better word, morality, or I've made busyness feel like the right thing to do. And sometimes mm-hmm. It's just a distraction. Sometimes it's not even productive. Sometimes you just hamster wheeling, you know mm-hmm. What I mean? You're just trying to, you know, you don't want to. You don't trust taking a minute and trying to decompress, download, all of that, you know, mm-hmm. All of that, again, like all of that saying. Sometimes I could see the importance of it, But I get so antsy that I don't trust it because I'll be afraid that you're just going to languish and it's going to be a wrap. You're going to atrophy. You know right. what I mean? It's like somebody that don't take enough time. Like if you broke your leg and you just out there, you still in the street, you still walking around and your leg is really broken. And they telling you, at least you got to sit up. You're like, nah, if I sit up, niggas go over your rap for me. And right. it's like what you got to be careful of what you tell yourself because that's what you start to believe. And then you're going to jump into the world. You're not even healed. So now, you know what I mean? Like right. that's just an extreme. Problems. Yeah, you're going to cause a whole new problem. And you, go ahead, what are you about to say?
You say that's an extreme, but it's not because, especially with black people, we have been tricked into a way where if we're not working, it's bad. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, we don't have a license to frolic. You know what I'm saying? It's like, right. if you frolicking, that's a bad thing. Like, nigga, you bullshitting out here. You ain't making shit happen.
Frolicking?
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Out here frolicking and shit. What the hell?
Yeah.
You they know
gonna,
what I mean?
They gonna definitely call somebody else. Hey, yo, your man was frolicking. Did right. you, this nigga told me.
Yeah, but go ahead. Okay. You know what I'm saying? It's like, recreation is not assigned to us. Like,
right.
you know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, you know, some people, they could get off work and just go on a bike ride and lay up in the park at 5:30 in the afternoon.
Right.
5:30. We on the train, we headed to the spot, you know what I'm saying? We right. trying to figure out what's for dinner, we shit, you know what I'm saying?
In motion.
No, yeah, we don't have the license to just be chilling. And that's burnt yeah. into us, you know what I'm saying, from, you know, I would assume slavery times. Like,
yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? So that's where they tricked us with the whole thing. The stereotype that black people are lazy and all that. We built this bitch, but we lazy ones, right?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because nigga might want to take a vacation. Nigga might be hurt. You know what I'm saying? So if you look at an NBA player, if he don't hurry up and get his ass back on the court, now he's selfish. You know what I'm saying?
Mm. Yeah.
When Kawhi, you know what I'm saying, was hurt coming out of San Antonio because he didn't rush back in the game, he was selfish. You know what I'm saying? They banished him and sent his ass to Toronto. Still went out there and got him a chip. So, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? When you look at, you know, all the players that get hurt, it'd be like, ah, nigga, when you coming back? Like Derrick Rose, D. Rose. When mm-hmm. he got hurt and said he wanted to take his time, they killed that man. You know what I'm saying? They ruined his whole image by saying he was taking too long to come back and he was bullshitting. I ain't never seen, you know what I'm saying? I never heard that issue being assigned to a white player that I've ever heard, not saying that it hadn't happened. But that's every year seemed like it's assigned to a black player. Yeah. KD was hurt. When KD coming back? We did it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
like, oh, LeBron, he hurt. He faking. He ain't hurt. This nigga ain't been hurt his whole career.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying?
And we don't even know that. We just know that he hasn't said he's hurt.
Right. He hasn't been out.
Yeah.
Hurt.
Right. Yeah. He hasn't taken, yeah, is it taken leave from being hurt.
Right.
Yeah, man.
Well, that's gonna count against his legacy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, you know
right.
what I mean? Like, we don't have the license to chill.
Yeah, that's real talk. Because I'll tell you this, to this day, if my peoples call me, like my family members call me and shit, mm-hmm. and it could be at any time of the day.
Mm-hmm.
If I sound a little drowsy, they're like, you were sleeping? I get defensive.
You be like, oh, no, like, oh, no.
Nah, what you talking about? I could have dead ass been sleeping. It could be 4 in the morning. Nah, nigga, what you talking hey. About? Man, I'm just trying to get things together. You
hey.
Know. Yeah.
The phone ring, you be like.
yeah, you know what I mean? It's ridiculous. That's got to be some slavery shit. That's some slave master shit. Boys, you tired? No.
No, I'm good. What's happening?
What's the word? What you trying to do? What you trying to get into?
Right.
Yeah, man. You tired? Yeah, man. Chill.
What you tired for?
Yeah, your man tired. This motherfucker told me he was tired. Yeah, B. Yeah, so it's yes. something.
It's tough, man. It's tough out here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's tough. But, you know, that's why the self-care people voice is valid. You know what I'm saying? They're trying
yeah.
to put something in the atmosphere that's not generally assigned to us. You know, the recreation people are valid. You know what I'm saying? All of these voices are valid. It's just,
right.
you know, how do you put them all together and each one teach one, and you know, the hustle people get a little bit of the, you know what I'm saying, self-care culture, you know what I mean? We all get a little bit of the recreational culture, you know what I'm saying? We don't even want to, we don't want to get in the water, we don't want to swim, we don't want to hike, we don't want to sleep outside, which is all fine and valid, because we're first step of this recreation, we want to get a taste of the good life part of it. You know what I'm saying? We want to jump straight to roughing it. Shit, we've been roughing it already. You know what I'm saying? I want to lay up in this 5-star and get some room service and shit. You know what I'm saying? So it's just where we're at as a culture, as a society, and you know how we fit into it. It's kind of like, you know, we forget how short of a time it was since we was kind of, you know what I'm saying, and segregated and tucked away. You know, it's like when I was on a clubhouse, the first clubhouse I ever talked on, and it was by mistake. I was just, you know how you get the little messages pop up on your phone, such and such is talking. I'm like, look at Shayla and Tony Ty. Shayla from Will Packers coming. Let me see what they talking about. And I clicked in, and then Tony Ty immediately put me on the stage. Hey, Ali, come on stage. I'm like, oh, Lord. I don't even know the topic of discussion. You know what I'm saying? But we're talking about gentrification, and you know, it was a guy on there that was saying how a lot of black people ran from the hood, and you know what I'm saying, it's the onus is on us as well to buy in the neighborhoods that we grew up in and ran from. And then, you know, my counterpoint to that was, he's right, but at the same time, shit, my parents, you know, this, when they moved into the neighborhood we moved in, that was the first time that black people was able to do it in the South. You know what I'm saying? Right. So when we got there, it was all white. It was a new thing just to go experience something new. So we only one generation away from that. You know what I'm saying? It's not like that's been a long time. Like, we got a chance to go figure out what the suburbs feel like, what it feels like not to live in a highly densely populated place, you know? So that first generation, they just wanted to experience being free. Let me go where I couldn't go. You know what I mean? And I think the second, third generation of it is just experiencing that. And now we're starting to realize the value of how the real estate market moves because of, you know, the talks that's going on and the hustle talks and the, you know, LLC talks and the real estate talks. Right. We're starting to learn that, wait a minute, we need to take advantage of this shit too.
Taking the you know, the boundaries off, because a lot of times certain things could be assigned to certain types of people. You know what I mean? Like, even, you know, like we talk about, joke about LLC Twitter, and you're hearing about way more people investing and getting in the stock market and all of that type of thing. For a long time, you know, a lot of black people were very wary about that, or was just seemed to something that you got to have money to get into. Right. You know, money became the boundary, or, you know, or just on anything. Like, even when you were just joking about, you know, accommodations, 5-star accommodations, get some of this room service. To this day, I bugged out with room service. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, you gotta, it, like, you're paying for the indulgence. You're paying for that. But me, I'm already looking at it like, $25 for pancakes? Wait a minute. I could get up, go downstairs, go over here, get the pancakes for 10, you know what I mean? Like, I'm looking at the mini bar like, how much? You know what I'm saying? Go to Target, buy everything that was in the mini bar for less, put it in the, it's like, come on, bro. At some point, you gotta, like I say, you gotta exercise the broke out your system or just expand and you know, go beyond scarcity thinking. You know what I'm saying? And it's tough. It's easier said than done. It's
baby steps, right? You got to take one step first. First step is you got a passport and you did it. You're out there. You're in the world. You're seeing different things. You're learning. You're learning from just being. And, you know, after that, you know what I mean? The next people after you, they'll go with more intention and more, you know what I'm saying? They'll have it as more of a way of life as opposed to something special. You know what I'm saying? Right. And then, you know, we'll be able to just cross boundaries and communicate across different cultures and bring stuff back and do it how it should be done and how it has been right. done. It's just right. how we've been closed off from it. And now mm-hmm. we're finding our way back, you know?
Yeah. I think about, you know, not just scarcity thinking, but I think about, you know, just the fact of wrong versus right. Do it the right way. Mm-hmm. There's no right way to do any of this shit. It's just the way you choose. If it works, mm-hmm. it works. If it doesn't, you'll figure something else out, right? Mm-hmm. And that's something that takes a whole lot of unlearning. You know what I mean? Because a lot of times, based on where you're from and what you've seen, you could see a lot of cautionary tales in the development of people around you, and you could almost see where people went left, or mm-hmm. at least create a theory on, well, you know, they, if they hadn't done that, motherfucker would have been here. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? So you'd be like, well, the first thing I'm gonna do is not do that. You right. know what I mean? And it's kind of like you try to create, like basically boundaries, like a context or a course, the right route. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And again, there is no right route. So after when you start to unlearn that, it's crazy. It starts to, you know, it puts things in greater perspective. And one thing that I was thinking about, I was watching this show, and the person was like, yeah, they scared to fail. And that's why they messing up like that. Mm-hmm. And that shit hit me. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it just made me think about that. You know, everybody's, you know, you think, you know, nobody ever wants to fail. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? And we've had this conversation about losses before. But I remember somebody said to me one time, he was like, yeah, you know, there's a difference between playing to win and playing not to lose. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes you just got to play to win. You know, if you're playing not to lose, you're playing it safe. And again, that safe, that whole thing is, that's a myth on a certain level. That's calculated risk. You know what I mean? All a lot of hesitation, a lot of reluctance in the thing, and a lot of fear of failure. Mm-hmm. And that's definitely some shit that I got to deal with. You know, like I lean into it as it relates to doing comedy or whatever. It's like, you know, this joke could be whatever, whatever. That could bomb, whatever, whatever. You kind of throw yourself. But even beyond that, just expansive, just even different moves and different ways of thought need to be explored, because if a lot of the same shit ain't work, or you know what I mean, or you kind of come back to the same couple approaches, sometimes you got to broaden it. And it's like, well, what's making you not broaden it? You're uncomfortable. What's the deal? So I'm asking you, do you have a fear of failure, or when the last time you felt like you were afraid to fail? And what is your philosophy on failure?
Shit, every day. You know what I'm saying? Every day you take a chance out here in this world, that fear is going to cross your mind. Because if you've ever felt failed before, you're going to feel that shit. You know what I'm saying? And but I also know that, you know, most times the cause of your failure is that fear. So you have to balance this shit. You know what I'm saying? Because in this space now, it's not just you. You know what I mean? You got people that look at you. You got, you know, your family. You got people that work for you. You got your team. You know what I mean? You got people that hired you, your clients. So in the game itself, there's no fear, you know what I'm saying? So it's after you come out of the game, and it's like, okay, what's next, and how do you plot your next move, and do I step over here, and that's going to take me over there for a while, and I'm going to be away from this for a while, do I do that? So you're trying to balance all this shit out, and it's a daily juggle. Sometimes it's a daily struggle, but it always feels like you're levitating over a razor blade. You know what I'm saying? It's like, shit, if this magic stopped, boy, I'm fucked up. So I got to keep this magic going. You know what I mean? And it's a different philosophy than the hustle philosophy, where it's like, you know, let me just bulldoze through. Let me keep it moving. You know what I'm saying? Because hustling, if you don't reel yourself in and actually consciously see what you're doing, you will spend your whole life chasing and moving and doing this and doing that, and you'll never invest time in any of the people or the things or just the experience that's around you. You know what I'm saying? You might be indulging yourself, because like for me and other people, sometimes the game itself is what fuels you. You know what I mean? Just the figuring out life is right. Fueling the whole thing. But then you have to take into consideration that you might get 10 years down the line and you ain't celebrated not now birthday for nobody. You know what I'm saying? You ain't did shit. You know what right. I mean? You just worked and hustled your way to where you at. You come back and everything's changed. Nobody knows you. You know what I mean? So then you start to realize that there's maybe other things in this world that's important that you have to throw into your mix. And with that, the more you add to your mix, the more it's important that you hold the fear off, because fear gonna pop up. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
This whole world is fear-based. You know what I mean? Everything, when they try to enforce something on you, they're going to use fear first. You know what I mean? If your bill is overdue, they're going to use fear first. You know what I mean? Notice, urgent message, your shit going to be cut off. You know what I'm saying? And that hits you immediately. But then you look at the numbers and be like, okay, I got a month and a half and shit. You know what I mean? Let me figure this shit out. Or it's just everything around us is just centered around that. Yeah, you know, it's just a lot of fear in this world. You know what I mean? Don't do that because you might just. They remember that last person. He failed doing this. He lost everything. You know, everybody's mm-hmm. afraid to lose everything.
Yeah. And,
but that's why I say the hustle culture don't never die, because the information that you got from that culture or from that experience, it lets you know that you're not going to die. You know what I'm saying?
Yo.
Take the chance. You know what I'm saying? They ain't finna kill you, nigga. What they going to do?
Yeah, man. No, it's true. It is true. It's just, it's got to keep going. Got to keep going and look at, you know, because shit.
Yeah, but that fear.
Challenge yourself.
That fear will come. That fear is going to be there. But your fortitude and your mission has to be stronger than your fear. And
right. And
that's where knowing what you want becomes very important. You know what I mean? That's why being inspired by something becomes very important, because those things carry you when the fear comes in and you just push through, because you know, I would rather be doing this than the alternative. So this shit gonna have to work, you know? You know, preachers use it all the time when they say, when you're driving down the road and it's pitch black and all you can see is what your lights can see in front of you, you don't know, but the road just keeps appearing as you go. That's how God is, you know, and that's how all this is. You know, the more steps you take, the less fearful it becomes, because you know there's more road ahead. You know what I'm saying? Right. And when there is no more road, you'll be able to see it. And that's why you got brakes. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
You know, a lot of people be like, hustle, no brakes, all gas, no brakes.
Right,
Nah, nigga, it's going to be some brakes.
Yeah. Use them wisely, though.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's going to be some brakes. You know what I'm saying? That's good shit to tell yourself to keep you hype. But, you know what I'm saying?
I do one thing.
Go ahead.
I did one thing not too long ago, just off some old just challenging fear shit. I was just like, let me indulge this shit. And I just wrote down a list of everything that could go wrong. You know what I mean? Like, what could go wrong? Like, you know, sometimes you like worst case scenario shit. And I wrote down the shit. And then I looked at it. And when you look at it, you're like, well, I could get past that. That's survivable. Outside of death, you know what I mean? Or anything terminal, anything like that. Everything else is a setup for a comeback. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could live through it all. The only thing you can't live through is death. So that's really the biggest thing. You know what I'm saying? And if that's what you up against, everybody's going to contend with that. So it's like, well, you might as well occupy your time. Do what you want to do while you still have the moment. You know what I mean? And sometimes maybe just look at that and be like, well, look, you could get past that. You could endure that. Trust this. You could go beyond that. That ain't not to say that ain't shit, but it's survivable.
Yeah, but even in death, right? You know, we all got to go.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It gets to a point where you sign up and you resolve yourself once you know what it is that you want. And and you have a proper mission and a proper inspiration.
Right.
It's like, man, if I die, I'm dying on this path. You know what I'm saying? I'd rather die on this path than anything else. So I'm here. I'm doing this.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's when you see, like, if you even take it out of just, you know, business hustle. Like, why would somebody, you know, sign up for, like, the dope game or something like, or gangs or shit like that, where shit, it's a high percentage chance of death or jail or shit like that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because once it click in that I'd rather have this and I'd rather get out of that than stay in it, then bring it on, man. Shit. You know what I'm saying? If it kill me, I die doing what I was supposed to do. You know what I'm saying? If it don't, I go do my time standing on my head. You know what I mean? And that's where you get people who are locked in. And it's like, yo, but you can lock in to anything in that manner. You know what I mean? You could lock in. It's people that lock into their corporate job that way. It's, you know, people lock in, the entrepreneurs that lock into their businesses. And once your mind switches to, you know what, ain't shit they could do to me. And if even but kill me, and even if that ain't even no bad thing because I got to go anyway. Shit, that inspiration is better than coffee.
That's deep. Yeah, I had to let that shit breathe. Cause I didn't even want to segue out of that shit. That was fire. What's going on with you, man? What's good? What's going on? What's the latest?
Shit, man. I'm just, like I said, I'm on staycation trying to figure out how to spend these days with the kids before they go back to school. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm plotting the fall. There's some, you know, a lot of shit that's supposed to come up in the fall, but, you know, with this Delta variant, you got to keep your eye on it, you know. HBCU homecomings and all that shit is usually big in the fall for business. And, you know what I mean? They got the Orange Blossom Classic, which is an old classic that's brought back. But with, it used to be, when I was growing up, Orange Blossom was FAMU and Bethune-Cookman, in-state rivalry. Used to run in Miami, then they moved it to Tampa. But now it's Jackson State and FAMU. So it's Deion Sanders' first year. You know what I'm saying? They playing FAMU. It's like kind of like the opening official game of the season, right? Labor Day weekend, Miami. So that's going down. We supposed to be out there shooting some stuff for a client. And I'm excited about it. You know what I'm saying? Because HBCUs feel exciting right now. A lot going on. You know what I'm saying? The pandemic, Black Lives Matter talk has really put a lot of spotlight on HBCUs and their culture and the things that go down in the fall. So I'm interested to see how it all plays out in real life. And you know, of course, everybody's excited to be there because everybody been kind of cooped up and nobody got to gather last year. So feel like it's going to be, you know what I'm saying, a real situation. But then these variants out here and niggas is still catching COVID. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. Yep.
Niggas is still
Jim
catching.
Jones caught it.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's out there.
Sure. I got two friends got it right now. Like damn.
Yeah.
This shit is still out here.
Yeah, so, I know somebody. I got to check in. I know somebody that caught it not too long ago. after being vaccinated, which is kind of, you know, that's what you don't want to hear. But I mean, you know, it's better to be vaccinated. In my mind, it's better to be vaccinated than not.
Yeah, they've always said it ain't gonna stop it. Like, but if you get it, lower your chances of getting on that ventilator.
Look, I ain't trying to catch COVID or COVID light, to be totally honest with you. I'm, but you know, again, I can't not be in the world no more. You know what I'm saying? I'm just, but it's such a weird negotiation. Like this, it's no real resolution. So it's whatever you do. So like when I'm out doing these shows and shit like that, I keep my mask on until I go on stage, and it feels weird because I'm oftentimes one of the only people with a mask on, and I ain't gonna lie to you, I'd rather be Fat Joe at Versus than, you know, what Jim Jones had to deal with. You know what I'm saying? No shots at either one of them, but you know, like, caution sometimes, you know, be careful out here because this shit is, I think, I forget who said it. I think it was Jim Jones that said, this shit is like a stray bullet. It don't care who it hit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's a great way to put it there. But at the same time, you know, you can't be on pause forever. Right. So it's just like, all right, well, fuck it. We out here. I got this, I got to re-up on some masks.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Get my mask back. Shit. And, I guess maybe even hit, speaking of homecoming, I might just go to homecoming. It's funny. I'm seeing a lot more Clark Atlanta paraphernalia in the world than I used to. You know what I'm saying? I seen it twice today. But go ahead. What you about to say?
No, it's a cat out here making some Clark shit too, like some dope ass jackets. I don't know his name, but I see.
I think I know you're talking about
him out all the time.
Yeah,
there's some dope jackets. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they tough. They tough. Yeah, I seen Luda had one on the Breakfast Club, had a Clark Atlanta shirt, and then I was watching the Miss Pat show, and one of her daughters had a Clark Atlanta t-shirt on. I said, okay. All right, we out here. I get hype every time I see that shit. Like, I ain't gonna lie, that shit still means something. When I seen, you know, Chris Paul was playing in a lot of black college shit, like, or he'd write the name of a black college on like one of his sneakers, or wear some type of apparel from there. When he had that Clark Atlanta shit on, I was like, oh shit, you know, feel good to see the CAU shine. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't know how it feels for you, because FAMU is kind of up there as far as one of the more popular black colleges. So maybe, I don't want to say jaded might not be the word, but it might be kind of normal to see y'all have a pretty big presence in the world. Well, I feel like our shit is still growing.
I think we stand on our, you know, man, we stand on our success out here. We stand on our name. Our name out here speaks for itself. And the thing about FAMU paraphernalia is the colors ain't easy to just blend into the world. You know what I'm saying? You can't wear that funny tinted orange and green every day. You know what I'm saying? It don't match with a whole lot of shit. So
it's a decision. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's not like Howard with the red and blue, or you know what I'm saying? Some of these schools, they got, you know, y'all got black and red. These, you know, those colors that kind of blend into society. So when you wearing a fan, you shit, you meant to wear that bitch. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Let me just throw this on. I have a Howard sweatshirt. You know what I mean? Because, you know, during those HBCU tours, I always just picked up the shirts, kind of like Bill Cosby used to do on the Cosby Show.
Yeah.
No, me too. But but you know, I would collect them and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
and the Howard shit is blue and gray. That shit match with anything I got. You know what I'm saying? So you could just throw that shit on any old time. People probably think I went to Howard because I just throw that on to go get coffee or some shit in the morning. But when I wear my FAMU shit, that shit is intentional. Cause you gotta put them colors together, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
true.
It's hard.
But
to
I do
want to
say this.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I also want to say this. I gotta remind people. You know, Clark Atlanta as a university, that shit started in '88. You know what I mean? It was Clark College and Atlanta University beforehand, but Clark Atlanta just started in 88. So that's like going back to Big Daddy Kane. Like we still, you know what I mean? We still kind of young in the game. So I actually it's doing well. But yeah, sometimes I got to remind myself, because when you're talking about FAMU, you talk about how it, that shit been going on forever and ever. Right, right. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, yeah.
100 years in the game.
Yeah, look at that.
That, that cat that's doing those Clark jackets is BLI Noop on Instagram.
Okay.
BLINUPE on Instagram.
Okay.
So just in case, you know.
Maybe that's somebody new, because I saw somebody else. Let me look at his shit.
But, I think that's him. Yeah. Game I Rock, my guy. Yeah, yeah. CAU Legends jacket. But he's the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
yeah,
the,
I've
the
seen
guy
his
name
stuff.
Is BLI Noop. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No, I've seen his stuff. He got some fire shit.
Yeah, his shit tough.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, shit. I started that damn Cocaine Cowboys.
I started that shit too. I might have got maybe episode and a half in. I kind of lost a little bit of interest, but it ain't really. I don't know if it had anything to do with it, but it was just it didn't keep me. What you thinking?
Yeah, I ain't gonna finish it. Them niggas was snitching. Uh-oh. Everybody was snitching by the second episode. I'm like, oh shit.
Like, I don't want to see this.
Only yeah. And then what killed me was the first nigga went to jail was the you know, they all Cuban, but it was one black Cuban looking one with the afro. What's his name? Justo J.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Which was a dope name. I thought that was a cool name.
He went Justo J?
Yeah, Justo J. He went to jail first and got life. I'm like, God damn. You know what I'm saying? He off the board. You know what I mean? Already. Yeah. He stood tall. Yeah. He ain't snitched. Everybody else in that motherfucker, except for Willie and Justo. Uh-huh. Everybody else did some snitching. Variation of snitching. You know what I'm saying? Even Sal. Like, I saw somebody on Twitter was like, yeah, only people didn't snitch in there was Sal and Willie. Shit. If you watch that shit, when they went to pick up Sal from his crib, after the other dude snitched, told him where Sal stayed, they went to the crib, went through that. He was hiding, but they seen all his passports and all that shit still there. So they were like, yo, he's still here. So they put the dog out and found him. And then after they found him, he was like, they started telling the story like, you know, one of the guys in there didn't want to go to jail. So he's like, I tell you where Willie lives. You know what I'm saying? Like, damn, just like that? Like, and even leading up to before he got caught like that, everybody was always, it was a few people that already said that he set the organization up in a way that Willie was kind of like the front man. Like, he was the one who was most personable and was out front while Sal did the numbers and the book and the business part. So, and then one of them ladies was like, so that, you know, if it all fell down, you know, they'll come get Willie first. And I'm like, this old bitch ass nigga, I ain't finna watch this shit.
You don't even want that energy.
I'm talking about their whole organization, because they started it off first episode talking about how it was all family and everybody in it was family, and you know what I'm saying? Such and such marriage, such and such. That shit didn't last one episode, man. Shit, as soon as the police came and started talking. Ali. So I just, I Wikipedia'd the rest of the story, so I ain't even got to watch it no more.
You ain't even got to give it that time. Now I realize why I didn't finish watching it, because somehow somebody else was watching it on my Netflix, and when I went to it, rather than start on the first one, which I thought I was, I started where they left off. So I started on the third one. I think it was the third episode. And it was about the juror who was, who kind of, you know, who derailed the case. And then they sent somebody after him who acted like they was in the game and then got him to talk. And I'm like, this nigga's an idiot. Mm-hmm. But then by the time I got to, and they said a little bit about Sal or whomever, Willie or whatever in that episode. By the time I got to the end of the episode, I realized, oh shit, I didn't even see the beginning of the episode. I didn't even see the beginning of the shit. So I went back to the beginning, and it kind of just felt a little redundant. Mm-hmm. I might get to it at some point, but it was just like, man, I ain't really had a time at that moment. So again, it wasn't nothing particular to the show. It just, I was out of order. And then after I was out of order, I was kind of, I was done with it. Mm-hmm. So
It was, you know, in my Wikipedia search, I found that Justo J ended up getting out in about 14 years or some shit like that.
Oh, that's not bad.
17 years. His son went to the Major League Baseball. He played for one of the Major League Baseball teams right now. So, you know, he was able to jump back in on top. You know what I mean? Life is good for the stand-up cat. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He need his own documentary.
Yeah exactly. Because they ain't even give him no time. He ain't even have a storyline in this motherfucker.
Right.
At least through the first three episodes. Maybe he come back later, but. You know, those Corbin brothers, you know what I'm saying? I be trying to look at how they do shit anyway because, you know, they be a little slanted. So, and they do a lot of Miami stuff. So, you know what I mean?
I was
checking it out. They did the U 30 for 30. That's why they kind of blew. They did the first Cocaine Cowboys where they blew up. Then they did the U 30 for 30. I ain't see that.
Oh, okay, I think. Yeah, it's a 30 for 30 about going broke as as athletes. I think that was them. I'm almost positive it was them. It was interesting.
Sounds like something they do. It's probably all black guys on there, huh?
Yeah. If I could recall, I don't remember, you know. But I'm only looking for people that look like me. It probably was a couple white guys, but it was definitely mostly black. I mean, it's the NFL. We're going to be honest. What was I going to say, man?
They did broke.
Yeah, they did it. Okay. Started watching the Miss Pat show. I like that shit so far. I'm probably like 3-4 episodes in. What you about to say?
It's funny because I never heard of it. And somebody sent it to me. One of the listeners sent it to me the other day. And then and then I was like, you know, what's this? You know what I'm saying? Because I didn't have no context. And he was like, D Lemon probably know about it. She a comedian. Da da da. She had a, you know, he ran down her whole life. I was like, oh shit, she came up.
Yeah. Now, she a comedian, but before she did comedy, she used to sell crack. She had a wild, upbringing. Like, her story is crazy, even before she got into comedy. She put out a book called Rabbit. That was, like her name in the street, her little nickname or whatever, and talking about all of the shit that she had went through. But basically, that plus her interviews on, like, WTF and all of that type of shit, like, it really built a lot of interest in her story. Mm-hmm. So, long story short, Lee Daniels EP'd her story. Lee Daniels and, damn, my man's name, Jordan, the young kid who did a play. This is like his first time doing TV, but he co-created it with Pat. Like, he wrote the script and shit. Mm-hmm. And it's just... It's basically they living in, she from Atlanta, but they living in Indiana, which is based on her real life. Mm-hmm. And it's reminiscent, it's like almost like a, kind of like a black Roseanne, you know what I mean? It's a black ass, it's a black show. It's like regular black people. And there's been a little bit of that, like the Upshaws was another show with Mike Epps and Wanda Sykes. Like to see, you know, it's like a multi-cam show, you know what I mean? But around the black family.
Right,
you know what I mean? Just to see everyday black shit. And, you know, they touching on a lot of shit. And Miss Pat's funny as shit. So some funny shit on there. You know what I mean? Like it's a funny show. It's some shit. There was a line. Like they be saying wild shit. They say shit that you ain't never really heard on a on a sitcom before. Shit that, you know, and everybody will say that. This is some shit you've never really heard. And you'll be like, all right, well, we'll see. Now, they say some wild shit. So there was one point, and it'd be real, it just be tossed in. Like, it's not even, like, a lot of build up to some old crazy shit. It's just part of how they communicate with one another. So Miss Pat's husband, they laid up or whatever. They got waking up early because her sister was using their bathroom. So they woke up. She wound up waking them up by mistake or whatever. Her sister's played by Tammy Roman from Real World fame, Housewives fame. She's killing her shit. But anyway, so they lay in the bed. Her husband's like, I can't go back to sleep. She's like, yeah, I can't go back to sleep either. So you know where that's leading. So he say, shit. He say, yo, since we both can't go to sleep, you know, let me get some of that nappy grip. I said, what? That shit is like, yeah, let me get some of that nappy grip. Damn. I was like, yeah, that shit was crazy as hell. I was like, yo. She was like, but you know, like, it's just that kind of sets the tone for what's going on this show. Like, it is what it is. It's like, it's the language is super colorful. You know wow. what I'm saying? Motherfuckers is leaning in saying some wild shit. But the storylines are cool, interesting. You know, again, I'm only like 3-4 episodes in, but I'm happy for her, man. She got a dope little show. She got a dope show. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like a real, it looks like, you know, 4 shows in. It's good. I can't wait to watch the rest of them. But if it's as good as these first 4, I could see it going another season and maybe beyond and beyond and beyond. So, yeah, mm-hmm. salute to Miss Pat. That's a dope look.
You ever met her?
Yeah, she did Comedy Knockout.
Okay.
She did Comedy Knockout one time. Yeah. So I met her then. And it was funny because it was around the time that I was actually reading her book. So,
okay.
Yeah. She cool. She's the same way that, you know what I mean? Like, that's her. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's not much departure. You know what I'm saying? Like, she is who she is. I think I fuck with it. And she's funny as shit. Yeah, she's funny as shit. So, it's good to see. It's good to see her get her shit off. I was watching that shit.
That's what's up.
Yeah. So, yeah, you should check it out.
I'm definitely checking it out. Yeah, because I, you know, actually it was my man Roe. Roe is famous.
I think it's Roe is famous. Yeah. Roe is famous. It's definitely a good entertainment culture curator.
Yeah. So he put me on that. Shit, how's comedy for you right now?
It's good. We I'm building back. You know what I'm saying? So it's just really just trying to create new material. And it's, I don't want to say it's, yeah, because it's, you know, it's kind of, I don't want to say it's slow going. It's going as it is. It's moving. You know what I'm saying? But it's just like, you know, because a lot of the shit that I was talking about prior to the pandemic, I just don't really want to talk about it no more. Mm-hmm. And maybe some of that shit, or some of it I've forgotten about, or just, you know what I mean? It's been a little disconnected or whatever. So I'm just trying to create new shit, trying to tap into, you know, what's going on, you know, what I'm observing. It feels a little weird in the way of, like, you know, I'm trying not to judge what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I think I've said this before, like, even with the COVID shit, it's very topical. Everybody went through COVID, so everybody's got a take on it or whatever. But I'm trying not to undermine that. But beyond that, it's like, I ain't done a whole lot of living in this last year. You know what I mean? A lot of what I like to talk about is drawn out of what I've experienced. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? What I've been going through and shit like that. And I ain't been doing a whole lot of shit. I'm just really still getting into the world. Right. So it's a lot of that type of shit. And then, you know, I don't say just looking within, you know what I'm saying? And trying to figure out what I feel about certain things. And you know what I mean? Like that's, and just, it's just developing. It's all developing. And it's at that point where some of this shit is a lot of like premises. I'm working it out, trying to find it on stage. It's not all the way fully formed. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just in that position of creating kind of, I don't say on the fly, but it's developing. Right. You know what I'm saying? And I'm trying not to be impatient about it, but I'm trying at the same time being intentional about it because I'm trying to carve an hour out, like a real deal good fucking hour. You know what I'm saying? And shit, we a few minutes in. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so it's that type of shit. So, you know what I mean? It's cool. I'm you know, just getting back into it, trying to get back into the rhythm of it all.
You feel funny?
Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes I don't. Like, you know, like even if I'm keeping it funky, even when I do this podcast, right? You know, mm-hmm. the fact that I do comedy or, you know, Funny Man Damian Lemon, as it says in the intro and shit like that, I be feeling guilty about just all this little introspective talk or all of this other shit. But that's what I be thinking about. Like, sometimes I be like, damn, nigga, should I punch this up? Y'all be hitting it, you know what I mean? But you got to be true to what you feel. You right. got to be true to what you feel. And I will say that's one thing I do appreciate about Pat is she is who she is. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could only be you. You know what I'm saying? And, like, you got to figure out how to articulate what it is about you that you like and that you feel funny and whatever. You got to work that shit. That's the craft. Mm-hmm. That's the craft. Like, there's, you know, at times, you know, along the journey, there's times where it's like you could look to what had been done before, not like material-wise, but presentation-wise, mm-hmm. and kind of take that as the format for comedy. And that ain't really going to get you where you want to go or to get you somewhere outside yourself. You gotta tap into who you are and how you express who you are and find the funny in that. You know what I mean? And it's uncomfortable at times, especially if it don't come as quickly as it could. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. you know. But, you know, all of that could change when you catch a few minutes, when you got a nice little bit or something, or a few minutes that you like, oh nah, this shit funny. Mm-hmm. I know I got a good 7 minutes here that hit hard. Now I'm going to start building off of that. And it's, you know, it's just, it's piece by piece by piece by piece by piece. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You just got to, like I've been saying for these at least a month, at least since I've been back, you just got to trust the process. You know what I'm saying? And not undermine that shit. Like I said before, not judge it. Just power through. You know what I'm saying? I get laughs. I'm still getting laughs and shit like that, but it's just like, I don't know. Sometimes I'm like, I don't know. Sometimes I don't want to say I don't know what I'm looking for, but I'll know it when I find it. You ever feel like that creatively? Like, mm-hmm. what you got is cool, it's resonating, or it might even be, you know what I mean? It might even be landing, but it's not quite what you see. Right. Or it's not quite what you want. Right. You know what I'm saying? So it's just that type of thing.
And a lot of times, again, you talk about taking steps in fear. You know what I'm saying? I think more times than not, the fear attacks that space of what you really want versus, you know what I'm saying, taking a chance. You know what I'm saying? Most people assign fear to taking a chance and getting out there and pushing the button. But really, one thing that becomes really important is, what is it that you really want? You know what I'm saying? Right. And a lot of times, that is the hardest question to answer. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like when I do interviews and shit, and it'd be a maybe simple topic. You know what I'm saying? So say we do when we did the I Love You Black Man video, right? Dear Black Man. The question may have been, you know, when you're in a relationship with a man, what are the things that you want?
Right.
And 99.9% of the answers went, well, I don't like when, and I don't want when. And like, right. No. The question is, what is it that you want? And I find, even in myself, you know, generally you know how you want it to come out. You know the outcome you want. But what is it inside of you that you want? What aligns with who you are? And that's how the next project I was talking about earlier, that's how I ended up coming to that's what I wanted to explore, because I was trying to figure out, you know, shit, what made my shit so good? What made, you know what I mean, what made my work? You know what I mean? Because once you look across all the work you've done and this stuff for this person, that person, you can name all these companies and, you know what I'm saying, and people you shot for, but mm-hmm. what is it did you really do? You know what I mean? And so when I started looking across my work, I started seeing, you know, something that I do in my work, across all of my work. And I was like, ah, that might be my point of view. You know what I'm saying? And as you start thinking about your point of view, then you start to tap into, oh, shit, that's really what drives me. That's really what I need to stand on that. You know what I'm saying? I need to not worry about all that other shit and just stand on the shit that is inherently me and that that drives me. And with that, that's a strong ass, and I haven't had that since 21st Century Hustle, for real.
Right.
Which, like you said, that was 20-something years ago. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's not like an everyday thing that you come across if you're not dealing with it every day and if you're not tapping into it every single day. So
right.
That's not an easy question to ask. What is it that you want? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Most people could tell you what they don't want much faster than what it is that they want.
Yeah. And what's crazy about that, to that point, and it's good to hear you say that, like, you ain't really felt, maybe you ain't felt that since 21st Century Hustle, because sometimes you could, I find myself frustrated with myself. It's almost like, I've used this analogy before, but it's like the magic eye. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you looking at the shit, niggas like, you don't see that shit? Like, nah, motherfucker, I don't see it. So like, well, you like, yo, what is it that drives me? What am I, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know what you like. You know, you could kind of, maybe on a, I don't say trivial level, but like on a surface level, you can know what you're drawn to or whatever. But sometimes what your purpose is, or even what speaks to you, or your point of view, may not be as crystal clear as you would like it to be, mm-hmm. right? And rather than being frustrated by the fact that you don't see it, that comes back to the, you know, you got to walk in faith and keep doing things to, you know, keep doing things that at least come to you, or at least, I don't want to say halfway inspired, but things that are like, okay, let me try this. Let me try. Don't stop trying shit, because that's really the, that's scratching the surface. That's getting to it. Cause at some point you're going to reveal it as you, or maybe it'll be like in retrospect. You know what I mean? They say, you know, things, the dots don't always connect until you look back. Mm. And you're like, oh, okay, I did this, I did that, I did that. Oh, now I see it. You know what I mean? On some old Constellation Rocky shit. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, now I see that. Oh, now it's clear. You got to move in that darkness. Mm-hmm. That's the process. You got to move in that darkness. Have faith that you're taking them steps back to your driving thing. To have faith that the road is not going to be cut off, mm-hmm. but sooner or later you go get to your destination, whatever that destination is. And it's not even about the destination, right. It's just about the perspective you get,
right?
And yeah, it's good to know, because sometimes, you know, like even with the pandemic, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. sitting down for a year, you're like, well, damn, after a year I should have myself figured out. I've been by myself this whole time. You know what I'm saying? I should really know a lot. You know, and motherfuckers will say that shit to you in conversation. They'd be like, shit, after a year, you're going to know more about yourself than you ever going to know. Mm-hmm. As if you're not with yourself all the time.
Right.
You know what I mean? But if you put that type of pressure on yourself, like, shit, man, this fucking vaccine's out and I'm still on, no, you know what I mean? Like, fuck. But, you know, he's got to live that life.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Oh, shit, man.
That shit, wow. But the thing about it is, too, even once you know it, even once you know what you want, and you know what it is that drives you and how you want to do it, it's still that feeling of knowing it for real, and holding on to it is fleeting. It's like capturing a lightning bug in a jar. You know what I'm saying? It's not mm-hmm. something that you can actually hold on to, because life change, your emotions change, you change,
right.
Your situations change. But the thing about it, once you know it is to always be able to get back to it at some point. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's just like Houdini was like, you know, it's better to have love and to have lost than to never have love at all. So think about it. Once you know love, You know it when you come across it again. You know what I'm saying? You know where it feels like, what it feels like, and where it touches you. So it's the same thing with loving yourself and knowing yourself. You know what I mean? It's once you know it, you know when you tap back into it. You know what I'm saying? You might be drawn away from it. You might move away from it. You might put other things in priority over yourself. But to know yourself is to be able to get back to yourself.
Right.
And that's the most important part. That's part of the journey of sometimes it take your whole life all the way around in the circle to bring you right back where you started. And that's like what books like The Alchemist is about. Motherfucker went all the way to Egypt, all kind of journeys, twists and turns, just to end up right back where the fuck he started with everything.
Yeah.
But it took that journey for that everything to make sense.
Right. And you got to realize the value of that journey.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because I think initially if I hear you got to go all the way, you do all this shit to find out immediately my knee-jerk reaction is like, fuck, damn, if I had looked behind myself, I could have saved all that time. But that is what it took.
Right.
That was what got you there, was that journey. Sometimes you got to realize that's what it is. That's the shit.
And just like you're not going to find it if you're not getting up and trying to tell those jokes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's hard to find the rhythm of the joke when you ain't telling no jokes. You're just thinking.
Right.
Damn, I ain't got it. You know what I mean? You got to be up there actually doing some shit. And then you'll be like, ooh, that worked. Let me build on that.
Yeah.
Then you'll be like, you know what? I got a whole book full of that shit that can tap right into all what I was just saying. God.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that be the shit.
That be it.
That make the hour.
That be it.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Well, that's the goal. That is the goal.
You know what I'm saying?
Shit, man. Yeah, man.
That's the old black man transition. Ah, shit. That's the,
that's the amen. That's the end of the sermon. Shit.
Right.
Anyway. Oh, shit.
What you doing
you
after
wanna
this?
You want to sign off or you want to? Yeah. What you about to get into? Shit. Yeah. We could break out. Either that or you want to talk about this Canaan situation. Did you watch it?
Yeah, I watched it. Yeah. Ain't much real happening. Yeah. No, man, I think we could put that on next week. You know what I'm saying? It ain't too much happening this week.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
All right, bet. That's cool.
Right.
All right, well, shit, man. Hello. Shit. Man, it's time to transform and roll out, man. Tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation. We out.
Conversation.